Hawaii has its own problems with wildfires, and each summer seems to bring a rash of fires that are mostly caused by people, some of them accidental, many of them deliberate. The Hawaii Wildfire Management Organization compiles the available data about each year's wildfires and reminds us that much of Hawaii's surface area is vulnerable to wildfires and that each year, 0.5% of Hawaii's total land area burns, a proportion equal to or greater than that of any other U.S. state. Elizabeth Pickett, the Kamauaua-based organization's executive director, spoke with us about the importance of prevention.
Firefighting is actually the last line of defense, and so a lot of things are missing, or a lot of pieces haven't been addressed if we get to the stage where we are having to actually do suppression activities. So it's a dangerous activity, and it may be what makes it into the news, but actually what would be better if it made into the news is actually all the things we can do to reduce the risk of igniting fires in the first place, or all of the preparedness and prevention activities we can do around our homes and communities to actually mitigate the potential for wildfire to spread in those areas.
So by the time you're actually deploying things like smoke jumper teams, a lot of other things have already failed.
Yeah, failed or just not been addressed to the extent that they need to be. A lot of times that has to do with a lack of resources, a lack of time, or sometimes just the large expanses of what we call vegetative fuels is not something we can actually address all of. But there are a lot of things we can do to really minimize how far fires can spread or even reducing the chance that they get lit in the first place.
What are some of those things, just some examples of those?
Well, for instance, in Hawaii, we have gathered all of the fire records over the last, over a decade, and we've recently been able to characterize the wildfire situation thanks to this mapping. And we now know that over 98% of fires in Hawaii are human-caused, and we know that it's in large part by accident, sometimes using equipment that sparks. Oftentimes people pull over on the side of the road over dry grass and don't realize that the heat from their vehicle has ignited a fire. Also, even just being careful with campfires. A recent fire in South Kohala actually started when people thought they put out the campfire all the way. And from what I understand, it wasn't quite enough. And so we have a lot of accidental ignitions from those sorts of activities that could definitely be prevented.
Even the heat from a car pulling over the side of the road could do it. It wouldn't have to be giving off actual sparks or flames.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of all of that. And so what we like to recommend is to make sure if you're pulling over that you're pulling over on something that's paved or gravel or where the vegetation is trimmed all the way down and just really being mindful of where you put your vehicle and also where you use equipment that may spark.
It also, what you're saying also reveals that it can take a very tiny spark and a very slow smoldering spark to start a serious fire, yeah?
Yep, that's absolutely true. And when we think about the fires in California or in other places where the fire spreads into the subdivisions, a lot of that kind of idea follows into the subdivision areas. For instance, if you have a lot of dry leaf litter in your rain gutters, a small ember that's floating from a nearby fire could actually land in that and smolder and start a fire as well. So when we're thinking about fire, we want to reduce the chance that we would ignite one, but we also want to be thinking about the home and the landscape around the home and removing brush piles and debris piles and anywhere that an ember or spark might land, even if the flames are not directly in contact with your own home or yard. We think about the fact that sparks and embers can travel, and so we don't want them to land anywhere where they can ignite.
And, of course, during the summer in Hawaii, we do get a lot of dry brush and a lot of areas that are ripe for a wildfire getting started, yeah?
Absolutely. At this point, the most recent statistic that I have learned is that over 25% of our land area in the state is covered in invasive, fire-prone in grasses. And so we have these non-native species that are fire-prone, that dry out, that are fire-loving, easily ignited, and so we really have to be mindful of the fact that we have vegetation that does dry out and that does increase our fire hazard.
We've also had quite a bit of arson problems over the last, 10, 20 summers, yeah?
Accidental ignitions and are both a problem. And so when we think about arson, I think one important thing that doesn't often get pointed out is that one really important thing to do is to report suspicious activity. And another thing to do is, fires can be ignited, but if there is no fuel for it to burn, it will not burn. So what we like to recommend is for people to be very mindful of how they are landscaping and to really lighten their landscape in a way that keeps the grass short, the trees trimmed up tall so that fire cannot travel across an area. Our organization, the Hawaii Wildfire Management Organization, works with a lot of agencies, government agencies and other nonprofits who are managing lands to put in fuel breaks and fire breaks and things like that. But that's only one small piece of it. I think another important part is just for communities and residents to also get involved. There's really a role for everyone to play in wildfire prevention.
If you've ever seen a wildfire, you see how unpredictable they can be and how fire can, for instance, jump across a roadway.
Mm-hmm.
And the general public isn't that aware of how the mechanics of a fire can work, right?
It's true. And I think one instance is that we run across a lot is this is a misunderstanding that fuel breaks or fire breaks or roads will stop a fire. But like I mentioned before, there's the flaming fire front, but there are also embers that are floating off the fire that can travel in the wind and land. And really, a lot of times, those fuel breaks or the roads are used so that firefighters can get in and have access to keep the fire off of the other side. And so a lot of times, those roads serve as access for firefighting. But again, if we're at the stage of firefighting, we really miss some opportunities for prevention and preparedness.
So really, it looks as if there's a big educational component to this and that the general public has a lot that it can benefit from learning more about how wildfires work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because 2 years ago, there were over 36 governmental agencies and nonprofit organizations who came together to initiate this process of raising awareness about wildfire in Hawaii. A lot of it has to do with the fact that this is sort of a new issue in that we're having an increasing spread of these fire-prone species. And the awareness just hasn't been there. And so we haven't had a lot of opportunity or information for people to use to really get themselves prepared and to do their part. And now there is a campaign that has summarized and put together a number of tips and strategies that people can use. And it's called the Wildfire Lookout Campaign, and it's available on our website. That's hawaiiwildfire.org, and you can just click on Wildfire Lookout. And there are a lot of materials available for people to use so that they can protect their home and their yards and their families and communities. It's a really great place to go for people to start wrapping their head around fire being an issue in Hawaii.
Elizabeth Pickett is the Executive Director of the Hawaii Wildfire Management Organization.